I've got some product back there I want to make available to you. We've got our first book is back there that has done pretty well. It's done over 10,000 copies. So we're excited about that, and I'm not trying to, like, I don't have the exact count. I just know it's there. But this is our follow-up book to Prophetic Evangelism, and this is called The Epic Lifestyle. EPIC is an acronym for Evangelism and Prophecy Invading Culture. And what I did in this book is really, the best way I could break it down is a lot of times in the world, there's this guy who's written a book called Blink. And Blink is by this guy, Malcolm Gladstone. I think he also wrote Tipping Point. I could be, yeah. But Blink is kind of that intuitive thing that initially when a business deal or a person walks up to you, get initial sense. And he was kind of talking about the validity of that. Well, let me tell you what. I think God has the original Holy Ghost version of intuition. And what I talk about in this book is that God intuition to begin to sense that God is in something, not just whether or not a person is good, that you'll like them or you think that they'll be whatever, but how to sense God in situations that you step in and you begin to see miracles and you begin to see people's lives change. Early when I was a college student, the Lord so loved on me and so filled me with who he was, I got a dream. And this dream basically is a dream of liberation. And I believe when I got that dream of liberation that God set me free and I had a dream that others would be set free, a flowing river of ministry flowed through my life, even as a college student, in a way that I cannot even describe. I pray that as you read this, that you will receive a dream of liberation, that new ministry will flow through you. We've got a DVD in the back. There are like multiple segments of 10-minute, what I call spiritual coaching for Marketplace Ministry. It's professionally videotaped with like a nice computerized backdrop. I think one time it looks like I'm on a spaceship. Another time it looks like I'm in a nice business office. Another time it looks like I'm on a street or behind. But it's professionally, digitally. They actually had a green drape behind me, but they came in with computers and did this thing so cool. It's nice. It was really nice. So we have that, and this is the follow-up, but we have that out there. We've got a 2-CD set, basically how to break out of defeated faith. Sometimes your faith feels like you reach for something, you believe for something, and it didn't happen. Has that ever happened to anybody right now? 3 people. Man, the rest of you are like, this is like incredible. How many of you ever believed for something and it didn't come the way you believed in the way? All right. How many of you got a little hurt after that? Come on, just be honest. It's good to be honest in church, by the way. Just actually all the time, but particularly in church. So I've got 2 CDs on that, and one of them is just dealing with how to see God's plan in the midst of a setback and in resistance. And the other one is about developing holy audacity. It's Caleb saying, I'm going to take that mountain. He's an 85-year-old man, been wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and there's a mountain of these people who were notoriously tall and vicious. I mean, they were bad. And an 85-year-old man says, give me permission. I'm going to beat down everybody on my mountain. That is my mountain. And he did it. And so I'm so who would like this 2-CD set? Right back there. Your hand went up first. I see that hand. Here we go. There you go. And then we've got a DVD here. The DVD is called Atmosphere is Everything. And it has at the end of it, like actual spirit ministry. People are receiving healing. You could see it. Words of knowledge, prophetic. It begins like that because I'm in a church in Las Vegas. And right after worship, the power of God just broke out. So rather than hold the Spirit of God hostage till I got finished preaching, you know, I'm just going to flow because the Spirit of God's flowing. Then I preach. So I say that because if you get this, you're going to think they went right to the altar call. I got a defective DVD. No, the message will come later. So you need to know that. But Atmosphere is Everything is basically how to become a lightning rod of divine release of life into your world. Atmosphere is Everything contends that if you present God the right atmosphere, you will receive the right product. And it's wrong to ask God to release something and we're presenting to him an atmosphere contrary to what we're asking him to release, right? Polar bears are not in West Palm Beach, Florida. Palm trees do not grow in Antarctica. Certain things take place in certain atmospheres. The same is true with the Spirit of God. I don't have that many, but who would like, my brother, you kind of did your finger out. Would you like this? All right, come on, man. Give them a hand right now. All right. All right, you're in Acts chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 11. It says, when Peter had come to himself, which, by the way, that's a good thing to come to yourself. Sometimes certain events in your life wake you up to what you were meant to do and who you were meant to be. And we need those moments where we come to ourselves, where we kind of have like an epiphany moment where we recognize what I've been doing is not me and not what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm really supposed to do. Everyone should have multiple come to themselves moments. In fact, I think I might need them, your speaker, every day. That's just for the record here. Okay. Now, when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. That's funny, huh? You go knock on somebody's house, they're so shocked to see you, they don't even let you in. That's serious, right? Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. I'm convinced that one of the greatest attacks against anyone's life and destiny in this room is going to be this thing of discouragement. Many times, my voice just did that Michael Jackson thing. I hate when it happens. Many times, the enemy tries to get there to be misexpectation, disappointment. He tries to give you something completely opposite of what you were believing for, or he delays something that you know you really desire that God's got for you. In the midst of this distraction, this delay, this disappointment, the enemy wants to lower your expectation. Because as long as you have a group of people that are expecting something of God, I had to tell you this dream. My daughter recently had a dream. She's battling an immune system disease. There is a diminishing quality to this disease, and it's something that we've walked through with her for about 4 years. I've gone out and see some of the most tremendous, and I'll tell you a couple of them, healing miracles, and yet I come home and my daughter, right in front of our eyes, has had to battle this disease. So as I'm here, right? So this is this week. I'm here in Hong Kong. My wife Skypes me and she's talking to me. And she says to me, "Brittany," my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter, "she had a dream last night." And my wife is telling me, this is my wife Barbara, she's saying, "Brittany had a dream. And in this dream, she had a tattoo that went down her right armpit, right down to her ribs right there." And I'm like, I'm starting to like, my daughter better not have got no tattoo. I'm about to get, no. So she has this dream, right? There's this tattoo. And so my wife is developing this dream. And I'm curious, well, what was the tattoo? You know, she got a dragon. She get a, you know, like some sort of like little design flower or whatever. She says, "Brittany told me that the tattoo that began in her right armpit and went all the way down her right rib and down the side, it says, right here, it says, 'Daughter, be it done to you according to your faith.'" And it was the exact scripture beneath the tattoo that it said. So she had a dream. How many of you admit that must have been from God, right? The devil doesn't give you dreams of scriptures with accurate addresses to them, right? And he ain't talking about, but this dream, and my daughter immediately got up as well as my wife, and immediate me as my wife is telling him, and I'm getting choked up then when she's telling me that, as we know it is directly related to my daughter's healing. And as we believed in one area, she's had problems with about two or three other areas, and the doctors have said that she has this one defective gene, and we're not going to stand for that. We're believing that God's got something greater. And this is a time for contending. This is a time for believing that God wants to give you something than what has currently been released in your life. You can settle or you can fight. You can give in and give up, or you can determine that you're going to lay hold of all that God is for you. We need people in this hour that will contend and say, "I'm not going to settle for kind of like what happens to fall on my lap. I'm going to press in," because the Bible says the kingdom of God suffers violent and the violent take it by force. It's not speaking of physical violence as much as it's speaking of a determination that says, "I'm not going to back up, back off, back out, or back away. You would have to kill me to stop me. And if the devil should kill you, you would be a martyr. And that means God would raise up thousands of others because your life would speak to him. And that would be a bad move on his part." Just nod your head like you followed me on that. All right. I was thinking about that phrase, be it done to you according to your faith. Be it done to you accordingly as you believe. Be it done to you according to your expectation. I believe that that is what God is saying to Solomon's porch right now in this season. That God wants to raise the bar on spiritual expectancy. God wants to raise the bar on what you individually have been believing for. And let me tell you one thing you should not be doing in this season. Do not settle and let life just fall to you. Because God is bringing divine moments. And divine moments are this, and I'm going to get back to telling you something else. Divine moments, I believe, are simply this. God gives us divine moments, and when we take advantage of them, we're given an opportunity to change history. It's like this. When people believe God in a divine moment, they become a hinge, like a hinge on the door, and that doorway opens up, and you're allowing God to blow through you to be this awesome parade that revolutionized history as we know it. And so, get this. Here we go. Let me give you the statement. Great exploits and history have been forged by people who were energized by a promise of God and expected something more. Let me repeat that, because that is like if I'm giving like a lecture, this is the premise of my lecture, but I'm not. I'm just talking to y'all, all right? No lecture, right? Let me say this again. Great exploits and history have been forged by people who are energized by a promise of God and expected something more. What would happen if you got a couple hundred people of SP that calls this home to all of a sudden believe that God wanted to impact the marketplace and the nations of the world? And let me tell you, there are those people here. That God wanted to revolutionize Hong Kong and the business sector, the financial sector, the arts, the politics. What if you got people hungry enough to say, we want God's presence so thick on us. We want the miracles of God to flow through us. We want the love of God to impact people's lives. And you got enough people to come in agreement with that vision. What do you think life would look like if you got people to raise their expectancy? It really isn't difficult in the kingdom. We obey, and in the midst of that obedience, we grab a hold of the promises and stand on those promises and contend and refuse to settle for anything less. We will see something that we wouldn't have seen if we became familiar and passive. Those two things don't, those are terrible spiritual states to be in. When you become overly familiar in a bad way and you become passive in your familiarity, it's when we lose ground. It's when the enemy takes ground that we have. I love to say this. In order to keep the ground you've taken, you got to keep taking new ground. Moving in the things of the kingdom is like walking up the down escalator. You have to beat the pace in which it's trying to take you back. And the enemy's always trying. So there needs to be some people whose expectation and vision is, I'm going to get to the top. Nothing's going to stop me. You're either right now motivated by history or motivated by your dream, your vision, your goal, your future. You can tell when people in life are motivated by history. They're always rehearsing an old hurt. They're rehearsing how their folks didn't give them what they needed. And here, we all open up and share things in our life with people. I've shared my testimony. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people whose whole life is trapped in some sort of setback early in their life. They're trapped with a relationship that failed them. They're trapped with parents that went separate ways and got divorced, or an abusive father. We know that. They have daytime talk shows in America that fill the airwaves of folks with dysfunctions, and they'll get an expert in and tell you, you know, whatever. My mama, when she was pregnant, she ate Twinkies. And when she ate Twinkies, I got Twinkie foam syndrome, and there are 12 other folks that got it. We have an expert that calls it Twinkie foam syndrome. We have the Twinkie foam. You know, I mean, people are like that. But we don't want to be a people who are motivated by our past or trapped in our history. We want to be a people that expect a different future, a greater future. Because if we do that, and this is how we have to think, you're going to impact the next generation of people that are going to come into SP, come into the marketplace, where your marketplace post where you work at, or YWAM, or wherever it is that God has you. I'm thinking that way because I'm a 47-year-old man, but I'm saying you need to think like that if you're a 27-year-old man. We've got to begin to think, I want to hand off to my son and my daughter a greater spiritual world, right? In terms of dad fought that the atmosphere of our home and the atmosphere that releases from our lives in ministry is greater than the way I found it. I used to run track when I was in high school. Ran on the mile relay team. We would practice. We were not bad. I wasn't the fastest. I was the second fastest. My buddy Daryl Hill, he was the fastest. So this is the way our coach set it up. He would run first because his feeling was if we got the lead psychologically, it would wear on him. I was the second fastest. He let me run anchor. So we would often practice. And so we would stand in line, and you would do your arms like this and go stick, and the guy in front behind you would hand you the baton, and you would just practice as you were walking because the handoff, and, you know, sometimes in the longer races you can do like this and wait, but we felt like we wanted to do it like the quick dudes did, so we watched some tapes, and so we worked on it. Now, you can have the four fastest people in the world, and you can still get beat. This past Olympics, right? The American women, I mean, there were a couple of Jamaican gals really quick. The American women had like four out of the five fastest times. But between the third and fourth gal, right? Third or fourth, or second or third, one of them. They're going to do the handoff. The handoff wasn't made properly. The baton is dropped. It don't matter if you have four fastest or four to five fastest. You don't cross the finish line with the baton, you don't win. Here's what I'm saying to you. In every generation, the baton handed to you is a spiritual inheritance. You run with that and hopefully improve upon it so you hand off spiritual legacy. You grab spiritual inheritance. You release spiritual legacy. The goal is the baton ought to be something greater that we hand off than what was handed to us. I want to hand off to the next generation of believers something greater. It only happens because I've raised expectation that God would do something greater, that I wouldn't just simply hand off to someone else what was handed to me. I want to improve upon it, and the way I do it is, daughter, be it done to you according to your faith. I want to raise my level of expectation. Now, let me tell you this, and we're going to go to this passage. I've been caught at times unexpected for what God's going to do. But I believe in a level of expectation. I'm in a service in San Diego, California. As I'm at this service, we come to the end of the service, and it was a good service, no doubt about it. We had some people that gave their life to the Lord. I pointed, I said, right over here, there's a man that you have a blocked artery. I literally, in the spirit, I saw this picture of an artery, and I saw a blockage. I said, you're right over here, sir, and you have there's a male right over in this area, and I'm pointing like this. You have a blocked artery. A guy stands up. Right next to him, a woman stands up. She's too young to be the wife, so I know it's two separate folks. She goes and gets her baby. She has a little baby boy that has a blocked artery. We pray for the baby, believing God for healing. The man also comes forward. We pray for the baby first, and we pray for this man, older gentleman. I'm placing my hand, and I'm praying. I don't know if you ever pray for someone, and you could tell they're not fully taking it. You know, like, okay, I'm doing this, but I don't really expect that anything's going to happen. His expectation is low. His low expectation shouldn't have, but it kind of affected my expectation. I'm like, I don't think this dude is getting anything. You know, I didn't speak it out of my mouth, but you ever had the thought, like, I'm not sure they're getting anything. So as I'm praying for this guy, I just pray according to the word. He goes back and sits down. I'm getting ready to start ministering some more from the word. And I stop, and I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to point at him and say, sir, you've been healed. And my whole mind, I'm struggling with this, right? Because I lay hands on him, and he's feeling like a refrigerator, man. He's cold to the move of God, man. I mean, the move of God just like froze. You know, it became a slushy as it was coming towards him. Just locked up, right? Just went from liquid to frappuccino to slush to ice. It just, you know, just. But I felt like I needed to say that to raise his expectation. But guess what? Raise mine. I needed to declare it, decree it. And by decreeing it, I'm raising expectation. I said, sir, don't make any mistake about it. You've been healed. Well, here's what I didn't know, right? I would later get an email. This guy was scheduled. This is a Sunday. He's scheduled Monday for a triple bypass. He's got multiple blockages all over his heart. This dude is like getting ready to die if this operation is not successful. He has, get this, a 100% blocked artery, a 90% blocked artery, another one, and he's got, what are these things called? Shints or stents or whatever the little thing. Stents. He's got stents to prop open his blood vessels all around, right? So he goes to the doctor the next day. You ready for this? No, y'all not ready for this. I'm not going to tell you. Never mind. No. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. He goes to the doctor. The doctor cuts him up. They put him under anesthesia. They cut him open to do the operation. They go and they look, and all the stents have disappeared. Those things are actual little apparatuses. It's gone. The doctor's like, where'd they go? Did we lose them? Maybe it went down into his appendix someplace. I don't know. Where is it at? They've disappeared. They're gone, right? They go to the 90% blocked artery. They're going to begin there. The 90% blocked artery is 100% open. You don't eat Big Macs for 67 years of your life, and that white gunk that settles on a burger when you leave it out overnight, that clogs up your artery. That doesn't just disappear like that. It did in this guy, right? Mr. Frigidaire, I'm cold. I'm not sure I'm getting anything, right? They go to 100% blocked artery. Now, this is where I want to tell you, God's got X-Files. All right? You just need to know that. I'm about to go to one of God's X-Files. Get ready. They go to his 100% blocked artery, and they find that it is still 100% blocked. But this is where, this is God's X-Files. Your arteries are almost like your fingers. You've got multiple arteries. Let's say these two, 90% one is now 100% open. The 100% blocked is still 100% blocked. But as they look around, a brand new artery grew out of his artery system and connected to his heart that's not supposed to be there. He has 100% blood flowing where it needs to flow. And it's like God gave him a closed up artery as a testimony that I can grow a new artery if I need to. I don't like that one. I'm going to give you, oh, come on, somebody. I'm sorry, I am not a reserve speaker when I see the power of God. So if I'm actually contained, I start bouncing off walls right now. I'm about to go Tigger on you if you understand anything about Winnie the Pooh. I'm about to, you know. So I'm in another meeting. This meeting, again, it was a more of a subdued atmosphere. This was a lot more energetic in terms of faith. I can feel like it could be a creative miracle in this service. I'm in this service, and a big, huge trucker-looking dude. I mean, he's big. He's looking like Mountain Mike, got a big old beard. He walks up, and he comes on the stage. He's coming for prayer. The guy has a metal rod. His spine is fused to a metal rod. When you have a metal rod, you don't bend, right? You don't bend. You just kind of like turn this way. You're stiff, right? We pray for this dude. He feels the fire of God up and down his spine, almost like it's like so hot. Like he said, this is not normal. I'm feeling this heat on my spine. And all of a sudden, he feels prompted. I didn't tell him to do this. He feels prompted to begin to bend. The guy, right? He's 6'4", big old huge mountain trucker looking dude. Spine all the way fused to a metal rod up and down. Not just a small one, up and down his entire spine. The guy does like this and drops on the ground and gets up. And all of a sudden, his eyes immediately become pools of water. And he goes, I'm not supposed to be able to do that. And I go, what do you mean I'm supposed to be able to do that? He says, my entire back, I was in this terrible truck accident, is fused to a metal rod, and he bends down and he does it again, and this guy starts jumping up and down like this. I start jumping up and down like this, too. I'm losing the mic. I'm so excited. I'm going to use the hand mic. Can I use the hand mic? For those... excited, yeah. He starts jumping up and down. It's crazy. It's so exciting that a woman that has advanced stages, she's an older lady, advanced stages of MS, right? She's coming up like this, and she looks at me, and even though she's an older lady, her eyes are looking young. I mean, she has a youthful, I could tell this woman's got faith. I think faith can be perceived on people. Acts 14. She says, young man, I know when you pray for me, God's going to heal me, and I'm not going to have MS. And she said, come on here, Charles. And she had her husband with her. He's an old guy. He's coming up too. Pray for her. She goes out in the power, right? Spirit of God overwhelms her. All of a sudden, I'm still praying for people. I look back over. This woman stood up. She lifts up her walker. She came up like this, right? She came up on her walker. She lifts up her walker, which that's pretty good for a lady her age with one hand. She lifts up her walker and shakes it, walking off, going, I'm healed. And she just got happy and pulled up her dress and started doing a little, you know, Michael Jackson. Hey, you know, she's, man, this woman is healed. What God did, if I trace back and looked, is there came a point in time right before these series of miracles, and I'm still in that season, where I said, God, I'll
that I have not prayed. Mike, I will. We can turn that. I'll turn this on, maybe. I just won't jump as much. I came before the Lord. Now, again, I'm reviewing. What took place before I began to see these kind of miracles, freaky miracles, creative miracles? I tell you about another woman that had Alzheimer's. I don't even remember this. I pointed at her and says, God's touching your head. Something's going on in your head.
Okay. You guys with me? You guys hear me? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right, we got past our mic issues. So I pointed at this woman. She's really come up for her daughter. And as she's coming up, I said, oh, by the way, God's doing something in your head. And I stopped. I didn't even ask her, was God doing something? What's wrong with your head? I placed my hand and prayed for her. She said she went to a doctor. She had advanced stages of Alzheimer's. She's forgetting everything left and right. That's what happens. You don't remember. You get to the point, your family walks in the room, and you're just looking at them. Who are you? And they got to tell you like 20 times. She goes back to a doctor. And make a long story short, she goes from having like 60% memory loss and some other damage that was on the 80% realm to 100% complete recollection. Brain cells don't reproduce, y'all, in the natural, right? You scratch yourself, you're going to get skin back. Brain cells don't reproduce, but it does in the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm going to do this. Turn to the person next to you and say, I feel some expectancy in this house. Come on, just turn to somebody. Did I do it all right? All right, we're back. I trust you, Pastor Sam. I trust you. Acts 12. Let's read this. Acts 12. Oh, no, we already read it. Let me tell you the story. Spirit of God comes, man. I'm losing my mind. No, I'm not. I'm not losing. I got his mind. I've lost my mind, but I'm getting his mind. Here's the situation. They're having a massive prayer meeting at Mary's house. Mary here is kind of like the woman that has enough means that she can have a room, upper room. Many scholars believe this is where they went to the upper room where they received in Acts 2, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that she had enough money that she could house. So the early, if you will, Jerusalem headquarters was at Mary's house. So here they are having a prayer meeting. Now, this is the backdrop. King Herod was a wicked king. He had apprehended James, one of the disciples. He killed James. Now, stop. You are the early church. You have not had to deal with one of the 12. This is one of the apostles that you prayed for and died, right? Okay, you guys are looking at me. Come on, look at this. Acts 12. Verse 1, it says, now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. The word there, harass, means to oppress, to vex, and to embitter. The reason why the enemy oppresses you, vexes you, and tries to get you bitter towards people, mad towards people, feel like you want to separate yourself, is it all affects a corporate expectancy. And if the enemy can get his hands and get a stranglehold on the expectancy of a house, he affects the destiny of that house and what God does subsequent to that moment. And that's why you cannot allow. As he, right there, King Herod, stretched out his hands to harass. That's what it says, right? Stretch out his hand to harass. It's a picture of the enemy's always trying to choke your expectation. He's always trying to stretch out his hand. And so you have to be one of those people. Number one, be quick to forgive. Somebody offended you. Someone hurt you. Someone, the Bible says, as much as possible, be at peace with all folks. You say, well, I don't know that I like them. Well, you're called to love them, right? So it doesn't matter whether you like them. You'll learn to like them, but you're called to love them, right? You're in the kingdom now. We're not little kids in the sandbox, and you got my toy, and I got your toy, and I don't like the way you look, and I'm going to throw. Come on, man. We're moving away from that. Basic Christianity 101A, right? Love Jesus. Be able to lift your hands at worship and forgive your brother and sister, right? We are moving on from Christianity 101A. So if you have an offense towards someone, understand the devil's trying to get a stranglehold on your faith and on your expectancy, which means you're going to have a clogged pipe and you're not going to receive the blessing of God. And your bitterness towards that person isn't hurting them, it's hurting you. Everybody take a smile break with me. Says, verse 2, then he killed James, the brother of John. Now stop. This is one of the disciples. Can you imagine the backdrop of fallen expectation that you were praying. And there had to be this thought of, oh, no, they're not going to get James. He apprehends James. Oh, he's not going to kill James. He kills James. You had to know they were praying because we're catching them now in a prayer meeting, that passage, and they're praying now for Peter. So the same wicked king, Herod, say Herod. He got James. Now he's getting Peter. It says in verse 3, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Now it was during the day of unleavened bread, so when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. It says, verse 5, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. Now stop. If you don't know the Lord and you're a guest, let me share with you one of the greatest selling points of Christianity. The night before your execution, you are snoring. Come on, somebody. Huh? That's supernatural peace. Peter, Herod got James and killed him. He's going to execute you tomorrow morning, and Peter's over in the corner. He is snoring. He's sleeping. Now, what, if you don't trust God, do you think you'd be sleeping? One of the highest rising health disorders in the nations of the world are sleep disorders. Americans aren't sleeping. And some of you guys here aren't sleeping, right? There are people taking medications and trying to get to sleep and trying to relax their motors running. Here is Peter the night before. You don't sleep before the night before a man is scheduled you to death unless you come to the point where your expectation is on the Lord. We need to be asleep to the threats of the world. We need to be asleep to the pressures and pulls of modern life around us. We need to be asleep to, man, all the little things that the devil's trying to do to try to get us emotionally in a point where we're feeling sorry for ourselves, we're in unbelief. We need to be asleep to those things like Peter was asleep the night before his ex. Oh, man, I'm about to holler in this place. I'm getting too excited. All right. I'm calm again. It says, I'm teasing. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, Peter was sleeping. He was bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping. Now, it says in verse 7, get this, Acts 12, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in prison. Let me tell you how hard Peter is sleeping. An angel shows up in his prison cell and has to hit him to wake him up. My wife, I told you, my wife is such a sensitive sleeper. A dog could bark three blocks away from our house. My wife will pop up in bed. What was that? And I'm like out. Like, I don't know what it was. I didn't hear anything. Here is a guy that he is sleeping so soundly. Don't you think if an angel showed up at your bed tonight, you would know it? How many of you think you're an angel? And there's a light with the angel. Angels come with light, right? Here's an angel. Light shone. And here's what he has to do. I love this. It says in verse 7. It says, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on his side and raised him up. Peter is so asleep. See, I wish I had an hour to talk on this. I just think it's so cool that this guy had that kind of expectation. My life is in God's hands. I'm not sweating it. I'm not worried. God wants to speak to somebody here that you've been sweating stuff in your life too much. You've been getting so topsy-turvy with the things going on in your life, and God wants to bring you back to a place of rest. What has God saying to you in this season? You must fight to keep your peace. Does that sound funny? Here's Peter. Angel shows up. Peter's angel standing right from him. All the celestial glory coming right from the presence of the Lord. And the angel's got to be thinking, dude, you are out. So the angel goes, bump, wake up. Peter wakes up, right? So the angel says, follow me. So Peter stands up. When he stands up, the shackles fall off his hands. He begins to take a step away. The little stocks that's on his ankles fall off. You begin to follow what God is telling you to do. Whatever's holding you back must let you go. He's starting to walk out, and all of a sudden, there's these guards there. You ever seen a Star Trek where Spock could come and do like this, and you, like, pass out? It was like the angel must have had the Spock flow, man, because the guards was poof, poof, walking out. It was like going in front of one of these department stores. The electronic gates on the prison opens up. Next thing Peter notices, he's outside. And get this. Oh, I love this. This is so powerful. It says right there, verse 9, so when he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. I believe that God wants to begin to do things where you would say, this, I must be dreaming. I must be dreaming. God, are you really blessing me like that? God, are you really opening doors like that? God, are you really moving in my family and allow my family to see you and come to Christ? Are you really bringing healing through our family, our ministry? God, are you really opening up the nations of the world? He stood there, and up to this point, Peter is thinking, I'm dreaming. This is too good to be true. There's no way that, man, I'm scheduled to die tomorrow, and the angel would come knock me because I know my boy James died by the hands of this man, and an angel's leading me out. It wasn't until he got outside that he recognized God is making dreams come true for him. Somebody's going to be saying that in the next couple months. Somebody's going to be saying, God has made my dream come true. Someone's going to come share a testimony. Pastor Sam Anning going to say, man, God caused a dream I had as a kid to come true. And God is raising expectancy because it is a Kairos moment. It's a God moment. God's trying to raise our expectancy to do new and different things. And what it's going to require, I believe, is in this season, greater sensitivity is going to be necessary in order to appropriate the new things of God. Talked about it first service. I'm not talking about it now, about this greater spiritual perception or greater spiritual apprehension. And let me say this. Don't let anything dull you or desensitize you right now. Shake yourself. Come on, just literally shake. Everybody right now, just shake yourself right now. I'm not just talking about in this moment. I'm not seeing, you know, you do that with kids if you see somebody going to sleep. I don't see anybody going to sleep. But literally, physically, that's the thing we need to do right now in the spirit. Don't let anything desensitize you or dull you. That it ought to be this thing like a kid, man, sitting around waiting at Christmas time, knowing that when the clock strikes, whatever, he thinks Santa Claus is coming down the chimney, right? We need to be kids looking for our heavenly daddy to show up and have that look in our eye like, man, we're the most blessed kids in the world. Our daddy's showing up and showing off. So here they go. Peter's out in the street. So meanwhile, cross town, Mary's house. They're in a prayer meeting at Mary's house, right? And as they're at Mary's house, they're saying, oh God, please let Peter go. Don't let Peter go the way of James. Wicked King Herod, kill James. Lord, don't let him do Peter like that. And all of a sudden, they hear a knock at the door, right? Somebody comes through and they're knocking, right? There is a servant girl named Rhoda. It was her job to wait. You know, she was kind of like the person around the house, servant girl. So she goes to the door. There's a door. And in those ancient times, there was a door if you had money. You go to the door and then outside there was a gate. She opens the door. She walks out to the gate. It's Peter. The girl's like, you're Peter. And she's so excited. She runs back in the house, leaving Peter outside. Remember, the people might be looking for Peter, right? She goes in, and I could just see Mary and then, you know, the other disciples and all the prayer meeting, the intercessory team. They're all around. And she's like, you know, Rhoda's like, excuse me, Miss Mary, you know, Peter, who you're praying about right now, you're asking that God would let him go and not let Herod get him. That Peter right now is at the door right now. I think we ought to let him in. And here's what Mary says. Mary is an intercessor. This represents the people who are seeking God. And what did she say? Let me review, and we are well into the conclusion almost. Another 45 minutes. No, I'm kidding. Not 45 minutes. I'm just checking. It says in verse 15. No, excuse me. In verse 12. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Many were gathered together praying. Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate, what I just told you. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Some translations say, you are out of your mind. So these are the people praying for Peter to be released. They're praying for a move of God. They're praying for a miracle. And yet they're not ready when the move of God comes knocking at the door. Doesn't that seem odd to you? You're praying for something, and when what you're praying for is literally knocking at your door, you're in denial. Which lets me know you must not have really been expecting God to answer your prayer. You're kind of going through some motions. So here she is. She taps him and says, Peter's at the door. And she looks at him and goes, girl, you crazy. That's his angel or something. Peter is not at the door. Leave us alone. Oh, God, please let Peter go. We just pray, God. Can you see how ridiculous this is? Let me give you three things that I think are important. How can you take the time to pray for something yet not be ready or recognize it when it comes knocking? Number one, let me give you three quick points. A lack of expectation due to past bad experience. Sometimes we're not ready for moves of God in a corporate sense or individually, God doing something in our life because we're trapped in some past bad experience. Sometimes people aren't ready for the God, let's say you're single, for God to bring that God man and that God woman in your life because you're still mad at the last guy or gal that hurt you. So you put this new guy or this new girl through all them extra, I'm going to make you pay for that last dude stuff. Oh, I don't trust you. You know, I'm one of my guys came to me one time in our campus ministry, and he says, I think I found a girl. I said, oh, really? Man, tell me about her. And he told me she's all nice and everything. He said, only one thing bothers me. He said, one time she looked at me and she says, I hate all men, but I like you. I said, brother, stay away from her. Let her get her healing. Quit. Get out of there, brother. Any lady that tells you I hate men, but I like you, you're going to be part of the hated after a period of time. Let her get healed first. How often do we miss? Let me say something. It's one thing for heaven to let your miracle loose. It's another thing for you to let your miracle in. Sometimes we're saying, God, how come I'm not seeing movement there? How come I'm not receiving? How come this? And it's not that God hadn't let it loose. Peter's let loose, but they didn't let Peter in initially. It's possible for heaven to let your miracle loose and you're not letting your miracle in. Selah. Let's stop and think about that for a second. And the enemy wants you to believe that God didn't hear your prayer. God heard their prayers. The enemy wants you to believe that, man, God is too busy in some other category. This doesn't really register with God. No. Your move. Peter represented something that God released that was being withheld. Enemy was withholding something. Their prayers forced the angel of God to bust that thing loose. Peter represents for us a move of the Spirit of God. Peter is at Acts chapter 2, right? He prayed, he preached right after the outpouring. He's representing a move of God. He stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the church's first sermon. And yet, can a move of God be knocking at our door? We've been praying for it, and we don't let it in because we don't recognize it. Past bad experiences. What was a past bad experience for them? My guess, they prayed for James. James died. So now they're going through the motions. Yeah, I mean, the back of their mind, they're not saying this. Man, last time we prayed for James, he died. That ain't right. Jesus, please let Peter go. We just prayed for Peter. You know, no, no, no. You are poisoned by a past bad experience, so you're not raising the level of expectation on your prayer to the point where it really dawns on your heart. I believe that we need folks that's going to believe God no matter what. We need some people who are going to fight to raise the bar that I'm willing to look foolish. I'm willing to put my reputation on the line. I'm willing to look like an absolute idiot to anyone around me, but I'm going to believe God. And if I go down believing God, I will go down believing God because I know I'm going to get back up. The Bible says, though a righteous man falls seven times, yet shall he rise again. If I go down believing God, stick with God, because the Bible says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. If I stay with God, this thing is going to go north before it's over. Come on, just touch somebody next to you so that could be for you. Come on. Come on. There you go. Touch Sean back there. Let him know. It's for you, Sean, too, bro. Sometimes the difficult thing that hinders our forward movement in life are not the things before us, but the things behind us. We think what's holding us back is this thing in front of us. It's not the thing in front of you that's holding back. Sometimes the things that's holding you back in life is not the thing in front of you, but the thing behind you. They're being held back by James. Second point. I'm going to move a little quicker. Second reason why I think they prayed for something, yet they weren't ready for it when God answered it, is what I would call the dumbing down of prayer to mere religious activities. You know people that they'll be blessing, Lord, I just ask you to bless. I was walking down that, I'm forgetting now. The market, the 100-year-old market, right? Walking down that market. Leanne, isn't that right? Is that what it's called? Where's Leanne at? Right there. Isn't that what it was, 100? Is that where the market is 100 years old? The wet market. We're walking down the wet market, right? Thank you. What's that? Henry, okay. So we're walking down the market, right? It's wet. It really is wet. As an American, I have a very limited palate. I want to expand my palate of eating, but it's going to take a while, right? Man, it would be hard for me to eat my duck with the duck head still attached to it. That's just, all right? That's not a dig, because at least you know it's fresh here. Who knows what we're getting in the United States? That probably ain't even a duck. It was in a test tube, and they put some feathers on it, said, this is chicken. It's not chicken. We don't know what it is. It's icking. That's what it is. It's wicking, you know. So I remember walking down, and I'm thinking in the back of my mind, note to self, I'm not eating goose while I'm here, right? And then all of a sudden, we walked by, two prawns jumped out on the ground at me. I jumped, man, I'm serious. It's like they were in there alive, crabs, some sort of other, like, squid. First time I was here, a woman stuck like a wooden, it looked like a wooden stake, but it wasn't a stake, like it was a skewer. She stuck it in like a little tiny octopus, what's the little octopus is called? Squids, is that right? Stuck it in there and stuck it in boiling oil and put it right in front of me. It was still like froze. It was starting to move and froze. She said, "You want one?" I'm like, my wife just started laughing at me, right? You ever go to eat something and it's different for you, where you're going through the motions like you like it, but you really don't like it? Sometimes we do that with prayer. Sometimes we get caught going through the motions of prayer, and what we're doing is that we're not releasing the right amount of power because of a lack of expectation, that we dumb down prayer to religious formality. I bless my food before I eat, right? How many of you know there's all kinds of diseases running around? You need to bless. If you eat fast food, you really need to bless your food, right? Lord, I bless E. coli out of this burger, Lord. I just bless right now. No avian flu in my chicken, God. We just bless. No virus. Nothing in my kumquat. Nothing in my, you know, just bless it all, right? Kiwi free, you know, just, you know. But when we pray for one another, you know, when you bless your food and you do a quick thing, like back in the day, we used to get together. My son played on a basketball team, and it was like a Catholic basketball league, so we'd all get in a circle, and we go, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, forgive those trespasses against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory." Amen. All right, let's play ball. And I'm thinking, do we know what we're praying here? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's people arteries growing back. That's dude with metal rods in their back bending down. That's a woman getting 100% recall in her memory back. That's a woman formerly with MS lifting up her walker free of MS. But we're running through that thing, and you know there's no expectancy on that. So what am I saying? I'm saying that next time we allow a desire, a spoken desire to go to heaven out of our lips, let's have some expectation on that thing. Let's believe that what we're asking for, God is going to give that to us. And if not, don't pray. That sounds crazy, right? People watching, if you just turned in, I'm not telling you to not pray. I'm telling you that if you're going to do it with some expectation on it so that you will receive. What does Mark 11:24 say? Somebody say, "Oh, you turn here. Come on, give me your finger here. Go to Mark 11:24. Just turn there real quick. You got to see this, and I'll give you my last point. Not that I'm rushing, because if you have to go, you're always welcome to go. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them." Notice it didn't say, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, you will receive them and you will have them." No, it says, it's in the red, that's quote Jesus, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them." Apostolic biblical praying is praying with expectation that you will receive what you're asking. You can tell when people don't really believe. They'll pray for you something and walk right off and say something totally contrary, as if they just didn't pray that. And it's like, I believe that maybe, if you allow me to read in this passage, that maybe part of the reason why they didn't believe Peter's at the door, that their prayers had become formalized. Because maybe they had prayed for things and it wasn't answered before, so now they're going through the motions of prayer. What does God have to do to get us back to a place where we have a fresh expectation upon the Lord to do what His Word says He'll do? Whatever we got to do to get there, God is saying right now, SP, you are in that place of being in Mary's upper room with a fresh opportunity to welcome, open, go to a door and let in a move of God through you. You are now that door. You are now that gate. And there are other churches and fellowships that love the Lord Jesus Christ that are as well. But you are that door. You make a choice if you're going to let the move of God in you. We're all gates. Bible says through one man sin has entered the world, and through another righteousness has entered the world. We are gateways. We allow something to pass through us into this world. Every day something's passing through you, right? We're not just talking about food. Spirit of God, hopefully, is something else passing through us on a daily basis. So Now, let me go to the third thing. I said, number one, why don't we receive when we ask, or why don't we take the time to pray and not expect our answer, recognize it when it comes knocking. Number one is a lack of expectation due to past bad experience. Number two is a dumbing down of prayer due to mere religious activities and formalities. Number three, and this is just a statement, it's better to have the master's plan than to master your own plan. Sometimes we don't get what God is for us because we're too busy trying to master our plan rather than get a hold of the master's plan. Can I stop and emphasize something? Big difference! It's a big difference between getting the master's plan and trying to master your own plan. There's this one dude, I won't mention his name, he's got a secular book, he's been around for years, and one of the things in his success principles, secular guy, is basically get a plan, work that plan, master that plan, and attain your goals. One problem, you left out one major thing. If your plan does not include God, there's no guarantee that that plan will A, be successful, B, get you where you want to be, or maybe the plan works and you get to the end of that thing and it's like climbing up the ladder of success, finding it's leaning against the wrong wall. It's better to have the master's plan than the master your plan. Maybe in praying, they had a thought of how Peter was going to get let go. And it didn't involve an angel going and letting him go. Maybe they thought, okay, God, we're going to pray here, and the way you would let Peter go if you let him go is all of a sudden Herod is going to die. And when Herod dies, there'll be a change in the administration. A new king will come in. He will love us and allow us to have our freedoms, and we will be the blessed people of society. And when that happens, man, when that guy dies, we know Peter will be good. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said, God, if you're going to do it, this is how it would have to be done? You know what I found out? Rarely ever does God take my advice. Hello, somebody. I want him to, but he's God. Hello. I think that they didn't know. There's some people thinking that in order to get healed, this and this and this would have to happen. And God is saying, no, it didn't have to all be like that. Some people saying, man, for me to, man, get the promotion at my job, for me to get my life partner, for me to, and we're thinking all these things would have to happen. And God is saying, I'm God. Who says it has to happen that way? And what happens, we begin to look for our plan to come to pass, and we're missing the master plan that's passing us by. Let me say that again. We're looking for our plan to come to pass, and meanwhile, the master plan could be passing us by. If they didn't open the door, Peter probably wouldn't have went to another house because it wasn't safe to be out in the square. Even an angel told him that, you know, you need to get over to the house. He would have kept moving. They would have missed the move of God. The move of God, Peter would have went to another house. But here's what happened. You guys with me? We're almost done. If I can get our sister, just come to the keyboard. They're praying. Peter knocks at the door. Rhoda comes, right? The servant girl. You guys still with me? All right, look this way. I want to see your eyes. Okay. Rhoda says Peter's at the door. Mary, the lead intercessor that you would think would be tender and sensitive to God, you'd think if you're praying, you'd be sensitive to know what God's doing. She says, no, girl, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. Girl, we just need to give you some drugs and just sit you down. I don't know what you've been drinking or smoking, girl, but you need to stop, right? But notice what Rhoda does, and this is what Solomon Porch are. You're a Rhoda company. Rhoda is sensitive enough to hear that God is doing something, and they're beginning to be piqued. And what she does is that she goes and experiences that move, and she comes back to the people, and her job is to convince them that God is releasing something. It's a new day. It's not a James day. It's a Peter day. And so what happened? You guys with me on this? Everybody look this way. Don't miss this. How does this group in Mary's house know that Peter's knocking at the door? The Bible says this, and we are almost done. They said in verse 15, Acts 12, but they said to her, you are beside yourself, yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it's his angel. You could believe an angel's knocking at your door, but you can't believe God is letting your Peter go. Isn't it amazing in America what we will, or Hong Kong, or any place where people want to exclude God, what they will believe in? They'll believe in Dracula. They'll believe in Harry Potter. They'll believe in UFOs. They'll believe in aliens. They believe in abductions. They believe in Area 51 and all these things. And it's so much easier just to believe that it's God. So this is what happens. The Bible says she kept insisting that it was so. The strength of a Rhoda people is that they're convicted of an imminent move of God, And they're not going to let anybody talk them out that God is at work and he's going to do something unique. Even if the religious crowd doesn't want to believe you. I'm telling you what, maybe this is me. After I see and fall at Jesus' feet for 10,000 years and worship him, I want to run up to David. I want to run up to Apostle Paul. I want to run up to Josiah. I want to run up to Rhoda. I want to say, girl, you are awesome. This girl, with everyone around her saying she's crazy, she insisted. What's that telling me? She was a woman that not only had expectation, she had conviction about her expectation. She wasn't going to be talked out of it. I'm not going to let this pessimistic environment stop me from believing that there's a move of God, that God wants to do something in my life. You can think I'm crazy. You can all agree that I'm the one that's wrong and all of you are right. Now, here's what she did. She kept insisting that it was so till guess what? Till they heard the knock. Because this is what I would have did if I'm Rhoda. I'm like, oh, you don't believe me? You know, I'd have done my neck and done my hand. Oh, you don't believe me? Hold tight. I'd have went to the door. I'd have let Peter in. I'd have been showing them all the way. Oh, see, I told you, you're wrong. That's not what she did. She kept insisting till they heard the knock, because the Bible says they went to the door. If we will be like Rhoda and insist on the convictions of what God is wanting to do and has done, if you do it long enough, they will begin to hear the knock and they will go to the door for themselves. And that is even evangelism. Evangelism says, I know there's going to be a great harvest in Hong Kong. I know there are going to be people that are going to give their life to Jesus. People that have major money and people that don't have major money. People that have great positions of influence and people that do not have great positions of influence. People that are your age, your parents' age, your grandparents' age, little kids' age. But we need a group of people that will insist of the reality of God till they hear the knock. Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door and lets me in, basically, I will come in and I will eat with them. I'll sup with them. I'll dine with them. And the funny part about it, I'm an evangelist. I've used that for evangelistic calls. But Jesus in Revelation 3:20 is knocking at the door of the church. He's trying to get in his house. Yes, I don't think it's wrong to say he knocks at the door of the heart of people who are seeking God. But the context, he's knocking at the door of the church. And he's saying, if you hear, open the door and let me in, there's new intimacy. And if new God intimacy leads to new God impact. Are you hearing the knock? They're saying, he's at the door. No, he's not. He's here. No, he's not. They're going back and forth. And all of a sudden, they hear a... And I could just see them getting ready to call Rhoda crazy for the 23rd time. And they go, wait, somebody's at the door. And they go up. And can you imagine the moment when they go to the door and there's Peter right there and they let him in and they're looking at Rhoda and they're going, the girl was right all along. Vindication is going to come to those that believe that there's going to be a God moment coming, a God release moment coming, that God is going to answer cries of his people's heart. God is moved by the cries of his people. God is moved when a people will humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. He will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, heal their land. That applies no matter what nation of the world you're in. That is scripture. It's the truth. In the marketplace, we need people that are going to be rotas. We need some folks that will insist something is so and not be talked out of it. Bow your heads. Jesus, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that today we're not going to let soul blockages, we're not going to let mental lids, we're not going to let unrenewed thinking, we're not going to let past bad experiences, we're not going to let heartaches, hang-ups, setbacks stop us for loving like Jesus loves and moving with your spirit. And God, heads bowed and eyes closed, and just a little softer. Here is what was at threat, heads bowed and eyes closed. The early church could have lost Peter at the hands of James. Think about it. Herod is the king, wicked king. He killed James. But they could have fooled around being so disappointed by the loss of James that they could have lost Peter. And I feel like that's what God is saying. Some of us have had a setback in an area that God is now calling you to believe in that area, and that it's not going to go the way of James. It's going to go the way of Peter this time. And it's biblical just to believe. I'm not going to let past, because I'm not God. I can't explain it. I don't know why it didn't work out for you. I don't know why my daughter's still battling a disease. I just know the healer. I have a lot of questions, but I'm not going to ask God to ask all my questions. I'm going to believe he's the answer no matter what my question is. I don't have to understand. I just need to trust and believe and expect. And that's what God is saying. Pray and expect something's going to happen. The team that's going to Uzbekistan, when you lay hands on somebody, expect that God is going to touch somebody. When you speak the word, expect that man. See, here's what people of influence, head bowed, I don't mean to preach at you any longer, but people of influence expect, people of integrity and influence expect to be believed. Don't share your faith anymore, kind of hemming and hawing and being apologetic about what you believe. People of integrity and influence, that would be you, they expect to be believed. When I share my faith in Jesus Christ with people, I've stood on college campuses, I've stood off flatbed trucks in inner city areas, I've stood overseas, I expect the power of God's word. Not because Sean is anybody, but because there's authority in God's word and his spirit is still alive and he backs his word. I expect to be believed. I expect for someone to encounter God. And I believe God is saying to you, your expectation goes to another level. Jesus, I thank you by your spirit that you're here. And as you're here, you've got great intentions for this hour. And the Lord, we just believe, God, you're doing some great and some mighty things. And God, we just give you praise, Lord, right now. We give you praise, Lord, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I got this earlier, and I think kind of maybe God was giving it to me for later. I have a strong sense that right now God is healing someone that has had like these ulceric problems of a burning in your stomach. There's a burning that's been, and it's involving your digestive tract, your digestive system. I initially thought it was a male. And then right as I'm before the Lord, I feel like the Lord says female. But what I feel like the Lord's saying is that we have one of both. We have a male here that's been having ulceric problems, almost like an acid reflux burning. And there's a woman here that yours is like an ulceric condition or problem. And God is healing both of you. And I would not be surprised if I've got one on my left and one on my right. We'll see about that. Who is the person that's been having abdominal problems and there's been specifically a burning and has been a problem with your digestion? Where are you at? God wants to heal you right now. There's an expectation. Would you stand up? And are you the other one? Yeah, stand up. We got a guy, we got a girl on both sides. Can I get one of you brothers that love the Lord? Somebody here really believe in healing to place your hand right there. Matt's stomach. We get a male. Michael, we get you over here. We can get, you're not scared, are you? You love the Lord. Jesus is all of you. He so loves you. And you responding to God, it's like you just went and opened the door. It's like God says, I want to touch your body. You open the door. This is a good thing. And I don't want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about 9 gifts of the Spirit. One of them is a word of knowledge where God gives you insight. His insight. Just, he only gives me a little bit. He gives me too much. I fall on the ground. Smoke come out of my ears. Fried my computer chip. I can't handle all of it. God gives you a piece of his knowledge. That's why it's called a word of knowledge. And he let me know that there were a male and a female. My sense was one would be on either side and that there was a stomach thing. Now, the miracle is not necessarily the word. The miracle is the healing. Psalms 107, for he sent forth his word to heal. There's healing that's taking place. So Father, right now, there you go, man. There you go. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare healing power, healing virtue to touch their abdominal areas. We just declare, God, we speak to the stomach tract, stomach lining. We just declare, God, you're the healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. Your word says in Mark 16, these signs will follow them that believe, that in Jesus' name we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hi, just place your hand right there on Matt's forehead. Power of God just touches him right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, healing for his stomach. And Lord, not only healing for his stomach, Matt, I just have a strong sense. There's a new healing anointing that will flow through you, flow through your hands. So, Lord, we just release the healing power and healing virtue of Jesus into our brother in Jesus' name. On three, just take a deep breath. 1, 2, 3, right there in Jesus' name. There's the power of God right there, right there, right there. Don't stop. You guys are handling that. Good, good. Father, we just bless our sister. We thank you for her tender heart, and you love her so much. And God, we just bless her. We bless her, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. You know what? Okay, the Lord is reminding. They're ministering to her. I just feel led to pray for this. In a moment, I'm going to give an opportunity for guests, if you do not know the Lord, to come to know the Lord. But I just feel like God wanted to just demonstrate. I just feel like right now, God is healing sleep disorders, insomnia, interrupted sleep, and even those who feel tormented at night and you're not getting good rest at night. Some of you, it's simple. Your motor is not shutting down. Others of you, there's a real attack where the enemy's not trying to allow you to get the rest. If you have problems with a sleep disorder, whatever it may be, and I know that's broad, right? It's not like a one-person thing. I think it's a broad sector. If that's you, stand up right now. I just feel like we're supposed to pray right now. If you have problems sleeping at night, getting to sleep, interrupted sleep, tormented sleep, and whatever it is, mind rushing, you're just not feeling rested in the end of the day, I just feel like the enemy's robbing you. And the Lord has let something loose. We're going to let it in now, and it's going to be rest. Proverbs 3 says, when you lie down, you will have rest and your sleep will be sweet. And we're believing for that. If someone's standing up next to you and you love the Lord, place your hand upon them right now. We got a couple in the back. Let everyone standing have a hand laid on them so they'll know. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare your word is true. We declare your word is true. Proverbs. It says, when we lie down, we will have rest and our sleep will be sweet. We come against any spirit of unrest, any tormenting spirit, we break it. Anything that would try to interrupt the rest of the children of God, Lord, that's part of their inheritance. That's part of the heritage of God, is that we receive peace, a peace that passes all understanding. So we just pray, God, right now, that God, when they go to sleep at night, just an unbelievable calm would come over them. That, Lord, some people, I know they take the melatonin, God. It would be like a Holy Spirit release melatonin or whatever you call that thing that allows that calm and that rest. I pray that, God, as they get to sleep, that they wouldn't be interrupted sleep and that they would have rest in the morning. And even some of these that have to, because for their business, they got to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 nights in a row. I pray that what little sleep they get on those nights would be multiplied and they would feel like they got 8 hours of sleep, even though they may have only gotten 4 or 5. So, Lord, we just pray. Right there's a spirit of God coming upon you right now. Father, I also come against, some of you have had some nightmares or dark attacks at night. Lord, I come against every tormenting spirit. I break its power in Jesus' name. We just declare that inroad is closed off because of this scripture, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. The Bible says, let God arise, let the enemy be scattered. And we just declare, God, right now as they sleep, the Lord would arise over their bed. The Lord would arise over them. And as the Lord arises, the enemy would be scattered. And God, some of you that have felt like something grabbed you at night, I just had kind of that quick sense like someone felt something grab them at night, like pin them or not let them move. Lord, we just break that, Father, right now in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus. Another way of saying that Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, officially purchased liberty for us. And this emblem of that officially purchased liberty is the blood of Jesus. So we plead the blood of Jesus over each of these, and we say from this point on, sweet rest. Now here's what I want you to do. If you're praying for a person, take your hand off of them for a second. And on three, we're going to put our hands back on them, and we're just going to say the shalom. Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace. We're going to say the shalom of the Lord. Some of you just say shalom, right? But we know what we're saying. It's peace. It's rest. It's a name of God. On three, we're just going to say shalom. Put our hand back. Get ready. Not yet, but on three, we'll put our hand there and we'll say shalom. Get ready. 1, 2, 3. Shalom right there. There it is. Whoa. Presence of God just getting stronger. Now, Father, we just declare right now, some of them that have worried about family, someone worried about, God, an illness in a family, someone's salvation in their family, someone worried about a job, position, where they're going to live, some situation involving someone, Lord, we declare peace and release, and we declare Peters are being let go right now. Peters are being let go right now. Peters are being let go right now. Let go right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Let me do this, and we're going to open up these altars and pray. I feel like there could be, well, I'm just going to go with God. I think there's more going on. Hallelujah. If you're able to sit down. If not, you're still standing. That's cool. It doesn't matter. You don't have to sit. You keep standing, right? Close your eyes for a second. Jesus, we love you. We welcome you. Holy Spirit, we reverence your person. We honor your position, Holy Spirit, as the one called alongside, that you manifest that which Christ purchased for us at Calvary. We acknowledge, Jesus, you sit at the right hand of the Father. You ever live to make intercession for us. And we thank you for a love that's filling this place right now. There's times when a glory cloud comes where it's like an otherness, altogether otherness. And there's other times when the love of God is coming to heal folks. I just feel like God is going to be healing some people of some rejections. God's love is going to heal some people that have felt they've been under condemnation and they feel like they've not been good enough. They feel like they make too many mistakes that God's holding something against them. Some people even thinking that the bad things in their life, they deserve that, and so they'll just keep letting it happen, when in fact God wants them blessed. It's the enemy that's trying to get them cursed. So we pray that release of God's love right now. We just declare right now, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Father's love is coming. Some of us have not experienced our Father's love. Father's love, there's a love. There's a tangible love that's healing some folks. Somebody's just getting released right now. It's like the Lord is speaking words of affirmation. Remember your dad, man, set the bar so high, you never thought you could get over that bar. And maybe he did it out of love of his heart, but you felt in the midst of it shame. You felt like you never had your dad's approval, that he was a little ashamed because you didn't do this or rise to that or achieve that high academic mark or whatever. And I just want you to know right now, your heavenly Father is pleased with you as you love him. And so, Lord, we break off any, allow me to use this term, word curses that have come over any people here at SP or any people that be watching web stream. We break any word curses, whether it was intentional or not. Many of them were knowing they didn't intend to hurt us, but their words live on. What is a word curse? Someone says something over you and you could tell it's not blessing you because it keeps coming back to cause you to feel less than accepted. That becomes a word curse. Or something that describes you that's not true, that keeps coming to pass and it's hurtful. Lord, we sever that and let the love of God come right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here right now, let me do this. You don't know Jesus or you're not right with God. The only thing that could stop this moment from being the moment of your life is the pride that says, I can do it on my own. If you could do it on your own, you'd have done it by now. We need a Savior. That's why God sent his Son. No matter how sophisticated you are, no matter how many degrees, you could have graduated summa, magna cum laude, been whatever. You have a soul to be won or lost. That is the truth of it. You need Jesus. You need his love. You need something outside of you, more powerful than you, to get victory in a war where many people are experiencing defeat. You need to have the peace at night of knowing your sins are forgiven. And the greatest human experience is the smile of God upon the human heart. When you wake up in the morning and know the smile of God is on your heart, you go to bed at night knowing the smile of God is on your heart. You go to work or whatever you do, watching, you know, whatever you got to watch, do whatever you got to do. When you know the smile of God is on your life. See, people want to think that the ultimate of life is found in a party, at a nightclub, at whatever. And let me tell you what, you cannot experience life to the fullness. You cannot experience life to the fullness till you know the author of life. He invented it. There was a story that Henry T. Ford, that invented the automobile, saw his car that he designed at his factory on the side of a road. He went to go help this young guy, and the guy blew him off, not knowing that it was Henry T. Ford. He said, hey, old man, I don't need your help. You don't know anything about this car anyway. And Henry T. Ford, knowing everything about the car he invented it, got back in his car and drove off. This guy put off the manufacturer of his car, not knowing who he is. I submit to you that the manufacturer of life, God, is stopping as something has impeded the movement of your life. All movement is not progress. You find yourself on the side of the road. God is walking over you. Don't make the mistake that this guy, it was an actual thing that happened in history, that the guy blew off Henry T. Ford, not knowing that the dude that made his car, invented his car, knew everything about his car, was there to help him. He blew him off, and the guy stayed on the side of the road, didn't get it fixed like he thought he would. Right now, the author and manufacturer of your life is walking up to you. Don't blow him off. Jesus, I thank you that you're here. If you're here right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, you're not right with God. You don't know if you were to die where you go. Maybe you never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, or maybe at one point in time you were young, you asked him, but you've walked away from him. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for our sins. He resurrected to lead a pathway to relationship with the Father. You and I are created for that intimacy. You were created for that. That's why nothing on earth will satisfy you outside of a relationship with Christ. If you're here right now, you say, Sean, pray with me. I need to know Jesus is Lord. I need to know my sins are forgiven. I need to know heaven's my home. I want to know peace. I want to know love. I want to know this joy. If that's you, wherever you're at right now, I want this moment to be the moment of your life. If you want this prayer, slip your hand up right now. Just slip it up wherever you're at. Yes, God bless you. Right there in the back. Anybody else? Say, I need to come back to God. Yes, God bless you right there. Anyone else? I see a couple hands. Anyone else? Slip up your hand if you need to come to Jesus or come back to God. If you need to come back to the Lord. Yes, God bless you right there. Anybody else? I see several hands. Why are you doing this, Sean? Because I believe it's so important that people get an opportunity to respond to God. This is you walking to the door and opening. Peter, I'm a Rhoda. I'm telling you, God is knocking at your door, but you got to let him in. Rhoda didn't let him in. They heard the knock and opened the door themselves. I'm a Rhoda saying God's knocking at your door. You lifted your hand. You're saying, I'm going to go to the door. Anybody else? Yes, God bless. I've seen about four hands go up. I'm going to pray. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to pray, join us, please. And if you're brand new and you've lifted your hand, come up afterwards. And I'm sure we can give you some Bibles here at Solomon's Porch. We'll give you things that will help you in your walk with God. Let's all pray this together. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess you, Lord of my life. I believe in my heart, God raised you from the dead. Lord, I repent of my sins. I turn away from attitudes and actions, selfishness and pride, any other thing that would separate me from you. I thank you according to your word. You say, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So today, I am loved, I am forgiven, I'm a child of God. I got victory over the enemy. And Jesus, I will serve you all my days. I thank you for new life. Come on, somebody, you pray that. Just give the Lord right now ovation. If I could get the prayer ministry team to come up. If you're on a prayer ministry team, if I could get you to come forward, you would do that right now? Prayer ministry team. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord is on both of you right there. My sister with the hat and you, both of you. If you stand up right where you're at, it's fine. Is that okay? Yes, two of you. Just close your eyes and lift your hands. Jesus, the Spirit of God is already on them. You prompted me to stand them up. So, Lord, let your Spirit and that Spirit of love, the undescribable love of God that nothing can separate us from, let it just touch them right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Let the wind of God, there's a new wind that's blowing. And it's funny that both of you be sitting next to each other because for both of you, there's a new wind of God that's blowing inside of your life. The Lord is blowing out some of the things of the past and blowing in some things that God has. Some of the fears that have felt like you've had to stare down. It's like what Moses said to the children of Israel, those Egyptians you saw before, you will see no more. And it's like one of them crossing the Red Sea moments. The Lord is closing a door for both of you. This is a word for both of you, that there is a new season. There's a new release. There's a new infillings. There's a new era. There's a new touch. There's a freshness that God is doing. It's like God is turning a page of the past. He's like he's turning a page in the heavenlies over your life. And the reality of God, this is really what this is about. It is speaking of a transition in both of your lives, a fresh touch of God in both of your lives. And something that has seemed like it's been the hindrance, the Lord is about to move and melt that resistance away like a hot knife through butter. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, right now. My sister in the hat, Spirit of God is all over you, all over you. Right now, Angie, if you could go back there and just push your hand on her. She's just really being touched right now. And Lord, we just thank you. Thank you. Actually, you can place your hand on both of them. But yeah, my sister in the hat, Lord, right now, Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Okay, we're live, we're streaming. I've always been one of these guys, I'm willing to take a chance. I felt like all of a sudden I had heard this cry of someone who has recently found out a health deterioration in their mother. Somebody here's mother is sick, and it's not just your basic sickness. There's some serious sickness on someone's mom that's threatening her health. And I just felt like we're supposed to pray for that. And I was just about to move in another. Who is that person that your mom has recently had a recent health discovery that's not good that we need to pray? Where are you at right now? I know you're here. Don't be shy if that's you. You may be thinking, well, what is it? Does it have to be deathly? I just know that. Is that you? Would you stand up right now? What is it that we're... Stand up. There you go. It's you. It's you. Let me get a woman of God here. I know there's all kind of women of God. GA, come over here. Let me get a woman of God. I'm looking over you guys. No. That's not it. Place your hand on her. Lord is going to do something in your mom. This is rest right here. Jesus, Lord, our little concerns, which is not little to her, register major in God to the point where I stopped an altar call, if you will, because, Lord, you spoke to me about a girl's mom. And, Father, I just declare right now, God, that you're going to be with her mom and healing's going to come to her mom. You use doctors, Lord, and we're not, like, praying against that. But, Lord, we look to the ultimate, the great physician, and for healing to come to our sister whose mom is scheduled to have surgery on her abdominal area. And we just declare healing comes. In fact, we send forth the word of healing. Now, it's not our word. It's your word. Psalms 107, verse 20. You sent forth your word to heal. It's your word. But we send forth your word of healing right to where mom's at. And as we're laying hands on her, let this be in lieu of us as we're laying hands on her daughter, Lord, blood of her blood, flesh of her flesh, that, Lord, the Spirit of God is placing hands, if you will. Jesus' hand is being placed upon her mom right now. It's the touch of Jesus that heals. So, Lord, we just bless and we just believe right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sis, stand up right here. Can you stand up? Man, the Spirit of God's all over you. Close your eyes. Leanne, if you come back over here. Place your hand right upon her head. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for our sister. This sister of the Lord is a world changer. God, you put a deposit in her that's so unique. Her heart of compassion bursts through her eyes. And I could tell anybody that loves like this sister loves has got a major, major, carrying a major impact for the nations of the world. I thank you, God, that she's unusually touched by the Lord and that, God, you're going to bring her into intimacy. Your allegiance is very reminiscent of Ruth, where Ruth left a lot and said basically, hey, your people's my people, your God's my God. It's obviously we know God's God, but you've left a lot to pursue what you believe to be God's will for your life. And just like Ruth was blessed, she was blessed. I think somewhere along the line they got to Bethlehem, house of bread. I believe that God's bringing you into the house of bread, his life, because of your sacrifice. And Lord, I just thank you, God. I just believe, too, you're stirring up giftings in her, stirring up giftings. I see you speaking. I see the fire of God coming off your tongue, out of your mouth. There's a fire that's inside of you. You're not just called to kind of assist and kind of serve. And those are great things. The greatest ministry really is service and servant. And we're all servants when it comes down to it. But I believe that God's given you a spoken word ministry. I don't know if that's new to you. I don't know if that's overwhelming to you. But I'm just going to speak it. You weigh it. You pray over it. But I just see you preaching the word of God. I see you declaring the word of God. And I see power. I see people weeping. I see people coming to Jesus. I see miracles taking place. Even as you speak, I see the enemy backing up. And you're carrying a unique anointing for your generations. And no doubt, I mean, it's probably pretty obvious, national boundary lines will not hold back your anointing. You're going to be able to go where maybe even some borders say you shouldn't go. You're going to be able to go because the Lord is going to open doors for you and you're going to be able to step into places. And I feel like it's going to be like short excursions, but you're going in, you're coming out. You're going in, you're coming out. But you've allowed for there to be the gifting of a broken heart. That you've allowed God to break your heart over what breaks his heart. And that is the essence of ministry. So, Lord, we just bless. Keep praying. Oops, I'm sorry, bro. Father, we just declare right now, close your eyes. Jesus, there's something going on here. We are going to open up this altar. If you need prayer in this area, you've had trouble coming to faith, believing God for an area. A. Or number two, you've had a past bad experience that you can't seem to shake. Or three, you want to see your faith and your expectancy, believing God in your life to go through the roof. You want like a gift of faith. You want an explosion of expectancy. You want, man, more God movement in your life. If that's you, stand up on your feet. If that's your desire, stand up on your feet. You guys feel free to slide in front of even that screen. You can pull this screen up if you want. If you need prayer in that area, I want you to come forward. I'm going to sit down here and pray. We're going to worship the Lord. There might even be more ministry before this is over. I don't know. But if you've got to leave, God bless you. We've got some resources that I think will bless you. If not, thanks so much. Tomorrow we're flying back, Kurt and I, to California. We love you. Thanks for letting us share with you. We love you. We love Jesus. And let the Spirit of God fall in this house in new ways in the days to come. We believe, Lord God. Let there be explosive multiplication growth in SP, God. Explosive, God. Now I have to get new buildings, God, to accommodate all the people that you're bringing. We bless you in Jesus' name.